Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Fortcast, the official podcast of Fort Healthcare. I am your host, Dr. Michael Anderson, ear, nose, and throat doc, and president and CEO of Fort Healthcare. And today I have a very special guest. I have with me a great friend of mine. Dr. William Hoffman is going to be joining us today to discuss seasonal allergies. So, Dr. Hoffman, first of all, welcome to the Fortcast. And could you tell our audience just a little bit about yourself, like how long you've been with Fort Healthcare and so on and so forth?
First of all, Dr. Anderson, it's a real pleasure to be with you. I'll emphasize the fact that you're a good friend. And the main reason why I came up here, I think it's 14 or 15 years ago now. It's been quite some time, and you haven't gotten rid of me yet. So it's good to be with you today.
Well, we appreciate it a great deal. I mean, for those that don't know, Dr. Hoffman and I, we did our residencies together way back in the day. So we go back to 1998. Yep. You got to go back last century is when we started practicing together. So Dr. Hoffman, welcome again. And we are certainly fortunate to have you not only on today's episode, but also helping our patients in our community. So I'd like to start with, so seasonal allergies. It's an extremely common topic. So many patients have it, our friends, our loved ones. It is essentially ubiquitous. And this time of year, springtime, summertime rolls around, allergies have a tendency to spike. So indeed. Dr. Hoffman, could you just take us through what are some of the common symptoms of seasonal allergies?
Happy to do so. In my experience, one of the most common is itching and sneezing. People will often experience nasal dripping and congestion that go hand in hand with the first two symptoms. Oftentimes, they'll notice that it gets worse when they're outside and it gets better once they're inside, usually in the air conditioning. Some people will notice it gets worse after a storm. Others don't notice that. It can be quite variable from patient to patient. The one thing that's pretty common is they usually feel miserable for a while.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And you know, when it comes to seasonal allergies, can it be in kids? Can it be in adults? Can it be in both?
Absolutely in both. And what's really interesting to me is a lot of times people will come to me and they'll say, there's no way I can have allergies because I didn't have them as a kid. And surprisingly, allergies can develop as time goes on. So I can speak from personal experience here. I didn't have allergies when I was a child, but I get them now, spring and fall, and thank God for medication is all I can say.
Yeah, and speaking of medication, that's a wonderful segue. So if somebody suspects that they have allergies and they're having those typical symptoms of itchy, runny eyes, sneezing, plugged nose, nasal drainage, you mentioned medication. So what kind of medications are out there for allergy sufferers?
Probably the most common that people will grab first line is an antihistamine. I find that a lot of people will still grab things like Benadryl or Chlorotrimetan because they're very familiar. But in truth, they tend to not be as effective as some of the newer antihistamines like Allegra or Zyrtec. There are other options out there. Nasal steroid sprays are probably the best form of treatment for the nasal symptoms like the congestion and the itching. Things like Flonase, Sensimist, and Nasacort are quite gentle on the nose and can even help with some of the itching symptoms like in their eyes. There are other medicines out there that are not necessarily over-the-counter, like the antihistamines and nasal steroids are. So for some people, they will respond to something like Singulaire or even an intranasal antihistamine like Astepro.
Yeah, and that's an important thing to note is that there are quite a few classes of meds that are available over-the-counter, like the antihistamines and the nasal steroid sprays. But then also other types of medicines that aren't over-the-counter. So those, when those patients go to their primary care physician and they try these medications and they fail, oftentimes patients are referred to you to discuss their allergies and further treatment options. So take us on that journey, Dr. Hoffman. What do you do with the patient when they get referred from their primary care physician or provider?
Well, I think the most important thing to know is when are you having symptoms? Because that can give some clues as to what they might be suffering from. And the next thing I usually want to know is what has been tried and how effective was it? What I often find is that people get some partial relief, but maybe not full relief. And when that's the case, I'll oftentimes institute combination treatment. For example, giving someone a a daily antihistamine to be taken in conjunction with a nasal steroid spray. They work on different principles, therefore cover more ways that allergy can cause problems. So oftentimes a combination is better than a single medicine alone.
Yeah, and I understand there's an antihistamine nasal spray as well, correct?
Correct. Astepro is the trade name, and it's a daily medication. It can be very effective for those that have relatively significant allergy.
So once all the meds are exhausted and patients just aren't getting to where they want to be with their medications and their symptomatology, is that when you bring up maybe allergy testing, or when do you typically talk about allergy testing?
A very good question, because you know, I think there's an idea in some people's mind that getting testing means that I need to undergo really extensive allergy treatment, and nothing could be further from the truth. In my book, if you want allergy testing, you ought to be able to get it, because it can be very helpful in guiding, and not just therapy, but giving you an idea of when you might start to experience bad symptoms. I always recommend it when people are on multiple medications and just not feeling better. Oftentimes, by the time people come into the office, they're at that point, because it's been going on for so long, and they've tried so many different meds that nothing really seems to help, and testing's our best option.
Yeah, and that's a great point to highlight. It's pretty rare that somebody comes into your office, I bet, and says, I think I may be experiencing allergies for the very first time. I mean, most of the time, these patients have been suffering for years and
Correct.
Have gone through numerous medications. So I find that a lot of patients are motivated to be tested because they want to know what they're allergic to and how allergic they are to it. So
exactly.
Dr. Hoffman, take us, once a patient decides, yes, they want to be tested, just give us some highlights of the testing process.
Well, we do the testing here in our Fort Atkinson office. We have a dedicated allergy nurse, Sean, that administers the test. People have to be off of their antihistamines for at least a week prior to the testing. And that's important because the presence of an antihistamine essentially knocks the test out. It becomes useless. So that does pose a problem for some patients because they're already miserable and now I'm taking away their security blanket. Those, for the folks that are really severe, oftentimes I'll offer oral steroids to sort of tide them over. That really helps. Once they're in the office, they're tested with what's called prick testing. It's basically using a plastic pattern to embed allergen in the skin. And after that's red, the skin over that pattern becomes kind of reddened and swollen. It's an indication that you have an allergy to whatever that is being tested. We then do a further skin test to kind of refine how allergic you are. And the whole process takes about an hour and a half or so, minimally uncomfortable and very helpful in the end to kind of tell us what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think patients really want that information. They want to know what they're allergic to and how severely allergic they are to that substance. So Dr. Hoffman, once a patient's gone through the allergy testing and you kind of have that quantitative evaluation, you have the levels, the severity levels, and what they're exactly allergic to, does that open up the conversation for further treatment options if medicines just aren't getting it done?
It absolutely does. And it's one of those things that the more severe your allergies are, the harder it is to treat it medically. All right? People that have multiple sensitivities to, say, tree pollen or to grass, it's around for a number of seasons, and if they really are reactive to it, medicines sometimes just aren't enough. Most of those folks are on multiple medications on a daily basis to begin with. They may need some support during their seasons with things like steroids just to help them through it. Those are the kind of folks that, in my book, are really going to benefit from further allergy treatment.
Yeah, and I think that's important for people to know. When we do allergy testing in the office, we're testing for roughly 30 or so allergens in major classes, including trees, grass, weeds, molds, dust. In a rural community, we also do specific allergy testing if it comes up, such as horses and cattle
exactly.
and so forth. So once you have that data and you start to talk about potentially something like immunotherapy, can you tell us a little bit about what is immunotherapy and why is it used?
Well, immunotherapy is essentially a way to, truth be told, to cure allergy. It's very effective for an awful lot of people and can be very helpful at controlling symptoms for the long term. There are two basic forms that we use here in our office. We do the allergy shots, what's called subcutaneous therapy. In that form of therapy, folks come in once a week. They receive a shot from our allergy nurse that's tailored to their specific allergy profile. They then get read, as we say, to kind of see how reactive they are after about 20 minutes or so. The time that people need to be on that kind of therapy can vary from a few years to a number of years. But in the end, over 90% of folks are going to show improvement. That's been seen in a number of different studies. We also offer what's called sublingual immunotherapy. This is something that is not new to the United States, but is a little bit new in the way we do it. It's been in Europe for a number of years. What's done with sublingual therapy is sublingual drops that are given once a day, every day at home. It's basically, I look at it as from an allergy standpoint, it's like death by a thousand cuts. You keep hitting it and it eventually gets better.
Yeah, you're killing the allergen, right?
Exactly.
By putting drops under your tongue.
Exactly. And I will tell you, again, from personal experience, they are very effective. I saw my son change dramatically with these over the course of a couple of years, and it's been a godsend for him. I guess a good way of looking at it, too, is they are more convenient for patients. They can take them on vacation. Kids don't need to worry about getting a shot. Adults don't need to get a shot. A lot of times it makes people pretty happy.
So to summarize, there's basically two forms of immunotherapy. One is with shots, mm-hmm. which are done in the office.
Correct.
Usually on roughly a weekly basis. And then you have the drops under the tongue, which is called sublingual immunotherapy, which is done daily at home. Now, Correct. The obvious question is, why would somebody do the shots in the office and not the drops at home? And
that's a very good question. And unfortunately, sometimes it's simply due to insurance coverage. Allergy shots have and probably always will be the gold standard of treatment because they've been around forever. And because of that, oftentimes they are covered by many insurance plans. The allergy drops, for the full disclosure here, are not specifically FDA approved for allergy therapy the way we use them. They're very safe, but because it's not, and I got to put the quotes here, FDA approved, we generally can't charge insurance for them. So it becomes a more out-of-pocket cost for folks.
Is one form more effective than the other?
Not at all. Both are equally effective as far as I can see. And in all honesty, I can only remember one person in the time we've been doing allergy here failing either form.
Right. Yeah.
So they are very effective treatments.
Yeah. And I have several family members on the sublingual immunotherapy, and they just could not be happier. They've seen a huge difference in their allergy symptoms since being on the sublingual drops. They're sublingual is an out-of-the-pocket cost, but to them, it has been more than worth it. And I'd like, Dr. Hoffman, can you talk about the safety of immunotherapy? How safe is it?
Very safe. There is always the potential for what's called an anaphylactic reaction, where if you have ever experienced one, it's very similar to somebody getting a bee sting and having problems breathing, okay? Both forms of therapy carry that risk, but it is extremely low. For that reason, all allergy patients that are receiving some form of therapy get an EpiPen to prevent that. I don't think we've ever had to use one here in the office, as far as I can recall. So it's not a very common reaction. And in fact, probably more common in the allergy shot regimen than it is in the drops. And that's the main reason people stick around for about 20 minutes after they get a shot. It's just so that we can observe them.
Yeah, you have to make sure they're not going to have a reaction to the shot.
That's correct.
Versus
That's exactly
the sublingual,
correct.
Would you agree that it's so safe that they don't have to do it in the office setting, they can do it in the home setting?
That is exactly why we offer it, and because it is significantly safer. And that's, again, been shown in several studies.
And to summarize, the length of immunotherapy, it could be a few years in length that you have to do the treatment, but what's the effectiveness of it?
The effectiveness is quite high. I wouldn't give a percentage because I don't know it exactly, but what I can say is that when I see patients, usually within a year, no matter what form of therapy they're on, they're feeling better. And they sometimes kind of forget that they have allergies. Many times they're still taking medication, but where medication wasn't seeming to work before, it is now. So it's very gratifying. These folks, it's a nice improvement. They feel better and they're really happy about it.
So I got to ask, because you mentioned your son, and of course I know your son, and he's a wonderful young man. So was on sublingual immunotherapy, and is he off of it now?
He is. He was on it for over 5 years because he still is in the top five of allergy responses that I think I've seen in my time. The kid was a little allergic to everything we tested him for.
Well, he's the son of an ENT physician, so that's how that goes.
Yeah, I figured it was a genetic thing somehow or other, but he's doing great now. He needs an occasional dose of something like Flonase just due to inflammatory change, but he doesn't have symptoms. He's not sneezing. He doesn't feel stuffy. He's starting to become a competitive weightlifter in Nebraska, and he feels fantastic.
Well, that's great to hear. So we've definitely talked and had a wonderful conversation about seasonal allergies. Dr. Hoffman, I cannot thank you enough for being on this episode of the Fortcast. Thank you for joining me today.
My pleasure, Dr. Anderson. It's always good to help a friend out. Being able to talk about some things that I think are just really successful for us is always fun.
Well, I appreciate that. And so if you feel like you have seasonal allergies, please contact your primary care physician or provider. And if you're not getting to where you want to be, then please come and see Dr. Hoffman or somebody else in the ENT clinic and they'll help you out. So with that being said, thank you. If you enjoyed this episode of the Fortcast, please see our total library on our website at forthealthcare.com. Otherwise, have a great rest of your day. Thank you. So long.